You're not wrong.
So, normally speaking, in methodology, you never ever try and explain a Mishnah on its own. Why not?
Because it just can say things and be right.
Well,
you're
more
missing
than
a
that.
Lot of context.
Right, you're missing context. A good example is, this isn't a great analogy, but think of it, everyone here read a scientific article? Yeah, like the one I just sent you. You understand, right? I sent you also.
Yeah, okay.
There's the abstract, and then there's the article, right? You never want to conclude things based on the abstract. Because the abstract is like trying to, you know what I mean? Like you don't know the right context, etc. Mishnah sometimes is similar to Gemara. Sometimes when you come across a Mishnah... When you come across a Mishnah, you're like, okay, well, this is a fascinating question, but the Gemara usually comes along and supplies some type of context. But every so often, that doesn't happen. Like here. Right, like so, like Niktam Rosho. Okay, so the Gemara never takes up the issue of cutting off the top of the Arava. Okay, never touches it, which is great because then we can just speculate on what the Mishnah is talking about. But you have an interesting machlokas. Okay, you have an interesting debate. You have the Rush versus the Iri. Right. So what does the Rush say? And you have to read it inside. What does the Rush say?
You cut off the top of the stem.
Cut top of the stem.
And what is it? Leaves.
Right.
The Iri says the leaves. Too.
The leaves. Right. Okay. So.
Do you say the leaves too, or just the leaves?
Say it again.
Is it just the leaves or the leaves and also the stem?
Good question.
It does say off Rosh.
Right, even Rosh. Meaning if it was just a Rosh Olam alone, meaning the tops of the leaves alone, that would be sufficient.
Right.
Okay? Okay. So again, so you have a debate. The question is, what does it mean to say that if the top of the Arava is cut off, it's possible? Does it mean the top of the branch is cut off? Or does it mean the top of the leaves are cut off?
According to who?
These two guys.
That's why
according to the Rush, you'd be fine.
Yeah, no, but I want to know the rationale for each side. Forget who said what. I just want to know what makes more sense. If you cut the top of it off, what makes more sense? To say, does the top mean the top of the branch or the top of the leaves? But 1 second, there's one fact we have to know, okay? What's the precedent for Niktam Rosha for cutting off the top?
Lulav.
What's the case of the lulav?
You cut up top, but it's also just the leaves, not the stem.
Okay, good. So Klein's a sharp guy. So Klein understands that lulav's a funny phenomenon because it's these, what are the things called? No, that's the entities, the frond. What are the individual things called? An halacha. Actually, you get a half point for that. I'm not sure what that is, by the way, in the scale. Right. The reason why is because there is, in Hebrew, the word is shidra, which means spine. There is a part of the lulav that's called the spine, but not what you're thinking. It's the innermost.
It's like a porcupine spine.
Right, so you mean the bottom, and then it branches out. So the bottom part's the spine.
And the quilt.
It's like
right,
a bunch of
right, right. Really. Okay, good. Okay, but fine. But what are the thingies called?
Spine.
Leaves. No. They're called leaves, right? But are they? But 1 second. But are they really leaves?
Yeah.
I mean, like, notice in my tone. So you could say that.
It's just weird looking.
Right. So,
why are you laughing?
The question is, are they like multiple? Or they're not really. Why would you say a lulav, the things are like leaves, or why are they not like leaves? They're like leaves because.
They're green.
Okay.
They come off like a central.
Good. And they're not like leaves because.
They grow upwards.
They're very firm. Okay. Right. So they have like characteristics of both. So now the case in the Gemara of Niktam Rosha by lulav is what? What's it referring to? There's a good lesson for Tuesday. What makes more sense? Would you say that should it be the top of the leaves, right, that make a puzzle? Or is it cutting off the top branch? The stem. Meaning, if you look at it as a stem, now if you change it... No. Let's keep going. One step further. No, not really. It comes like this. The two inner leaves come up like this. It's not like a... There's no middle part. We'll break a little of it, I'll show you.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can walk outside and pick them off a palm tree. So one second. So if you say it's the stem, so now what have you changed in the lulav?
The stem's no longer complete.
Which means what? What have you changed?
You flattened it. It's no longer kosher.
Well, that's the end. One step in between.
Okay.
If I asked you what's the address, not where you live address, but what's the address of the change? You say that the change exists now in the structure. It's a structural change. Or, for example, it was beforehand a 6-foot-high lulav, and now how tall is it? 5'8", right? You've made a structural change. If you look at it as a stem, it's structural. So if that's what happens by lulav, then by arava, where would the structural change take place? In the stem, cutting off top of the stem. What's the other reason why? This is the most famous term in... You're right. But the, okay, but you got to, unfortunately, in this case, you're right, but you got to use the halachic terminology, which I'm going to tell you right now. There's certain things that are always recycled in halacha. For instance, in Hanukkah, what's the most popular term in Hanukkah? Pursuing Nisa. Every svara in Hanukkah is always publicizing the miracle. Okay, it always comes back to that. So if Hiddur's the other one, right? So then what's the defect in the lulav when you cut off the two top leaves?
It's not beautiful.
It's not beautiful anymore. You reduce its beauty. Okay, like Esrog, you have all these things by Hiddur. So the leaf thing by the Meiri may be more, not a structural issue, but a beauty issue. Because you're not really changing the structure of the thing if you knock off one of the tops of the leaves. Rather, it doesn't look as beautiful anymore. There's a certain, that 1 second, that goes to what you're saying about entity. Okay, Hiddur and entity actually go hand in hand. Because when you see the thing and its wholeness,
entity by definition is Hiddur.
Is Hiddur, right. When the entity is intact, it's beautiful. When I mess with the entity, it's no longer beautiful anymore.
You have to cut it from the bottom.
What?
You have to cut it from the bottom.
What do you mean?
To get it off the tree.
So that's easy. Now next, before we get to the harder part, kamusha, okay? So what does kamusha mean? This is tricky. Right, so it's very funny. So everyone agrees that if the arabos, if the leaves are, what's the word you used? Withered, right?
Yes.
Yeah, withered and brown, crinkly was a better word, but withered and brown, it's yavish, okay? It's dry and that's pusle. But the Gemara tells you, the Mishnah tells you, kamusha, there's no Gemara on this. Kamusha, which means it is withered but green, okay, that's kasha. Now that means we have a havamina, meaning you would have thought that if it's withered and green, it is pasul, kamash malan, that it is kasha. Why would you think it's pasul? Why would you think it's kasha? Good. So Donnie wants to know, what is it about withered? That's what you want to know.
Okay.
Say it's karov lehis yavesh, which means in English, that when you see that it's withered, but it's still green, it's on the way to becoming brown and withered. Okay? Meaning the order is withered and then brown. Great. So, but still, I mean, why don't you just say once it becomes withered, it's pasul? Why does it have to have this idea of withered and brown? Why not? Arava gizula viyavesha psula. A dried arava is pasul. Now, if I asked you, what does dry mean? What would you say dry is?
No.
Withered. No question you say right, withered first. Yeah. Right? If you see leaves that are withered or crinkly, right, you're going to say that thing is dying. Right? For sure, you say it's dry. That's a dry. Dry, think about it. Dry doesn't mean a color. Dry is more of a
texture.
Exactly.
Is there a separate word for
dry? Yes, exactly. In other words, when the arava lacks moisture, it's I would say dry. At that point it's yavish, right? So the question, so therefore, who cares if it's green or brown, right? Green or brown has nothing to do with the actual, that's not a property of the leaf. That's a color.
Brown?
That's no, because
dry.
No. Because what happens first, right? It gets withered and then it turns brown, yeah. Right? So think about it. If I showed you a withered arava, and the leaves are green, I don't think you would say, "Oh wow, that looks like a fresh lulav arava." You say it's a dried arava. It looks like it's dried out. The brown is like the icing on the cake.
So, you know what I mean?
Yonatan's trying to say that the withering process begins with the leaves beginning to wither. And its culmination is when they turn brown.
Really, the withering process begins when you cut it off the tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Okay.
It starts withering when you cut it off the tree.
But then you're saying it's like, it's a funny thing what you're saying. So you're saying it's like it's existed, the withering is a lechatchila state.
This is like instantly start. I feel like it's more like when you throw a ball in the air and they're like.
And I see fresh arabos. See, I'm going to take a different perspective. I see a fresh arabos, right? So to argue freshness, what?
The least dying
arabos. Right, no, that's the depressing way to look at it. Right? Like, look, I'm the least dead arabos possible. No, I'd argue that, I'd say that yavesh is not, there's if yavesh is a botanical description, so you say, no, when the leaves are withered, that's enough. What if yavesh is the halachic opposite of, what's the magic word?
Hiddur.
Meaning that it's a halachic property, meaning it's only when it's lost every aspect of hiddur. Then I can now say it's possible. So 1 second. Green is. Green color is always a din in hiddur.
Right, but if you cut off the top...
You're saying, like, it's already dying, right? And then yavish is a culmination. I'm saying it's in its maximum hiddur state when I cut it off. It's maximum hiddur.
Yes.
And then it loses its hitterness over time. And yavish means there's no aspect of hiddur left.
Maximum,
right? Yeah, I know, but hiddur and withering... No, he's emphasizing something different. Don't say we're exactly alike. Yavish, he's emphasizing negative, I'm emphasizing the positive.
It's the same thing.
No. So what does the Gemara say? Tanarbanan. Oh, you see what? Tanarbanan over here. See the all the way down. Tanarbanan Ezu Araba.
Tanarbanan Ezu Araba. What's the Araba? Ezu Tzatzvah. What's the
Tzatzvah? Okay, so remember the Mishnah told us, right, that Arabas are good, Tzatzvahs are bad. So now the Gemara wants to know what the heck is the difference between Araba and a Tzatzvah. Okay, so it tells you right now.
Araba Kana Shalot Ezu.
stem of the arava is red, but Allah shalom ashaf, and the leaves are long. And the mouth is split.
You know,
the outer part of the leaves are smooth. Okay? So when you're walking through the garden tomorrow, or whenever you go to the garden, Tafin, go to the garden? Exactly. So when you come across this thing, just run your, you'll see the shape, you'll see the color stem, run your hands around it, Tzatzifa. Okay? But then the Gemara says,
Tzatzifa, Kana Shalom Lavan, has white stem, but Allah Shalom Magal has round leaves, Upiya Doma Lamagal, and the edges are similar to a sickle. Right?
A what?
Sickle?
A scythe. Same thing, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Just think communist flag. Okay? Now, but the key thing to remember about
the communist flag is the sickle.
I know, I'm saying, if y'all don't picture what it is, picture a communist flag. Okay. Right, right, right. Let's say I told you, what's an orange? An orange has A, B, and C, right? And bananas have X, Y, and Z, right? But I don't have to know what the...
not A, not B, and not C.
Yeah, I don't have to know what the banana is. I just have to know what the orange is. And know as long as it has these three things, it's fine, right? Okay. It's very...
A, B, and C, I don't need to know that if it doesn't, if it has not A, not B, and not
right.
C, then...
So it's a very troubling question. It's very strange why the Gemara would do this.
Tzatzifa and Arav are similar things. There's three characteristics in which they differ.
So should I stop you now? Because you're guessing. The Gemara, you have to tease it out from the Gemara why does this. You're saying you're guessing without seeing the Gemara. Shanks got a good point. Shanks, like, the first question, which Tosos is bothered by, is very good. Tosos would say, what do you have to know what the problems are? Once I know what it requires, as long as it doesn't have those, it's fine. I mean, it's a problem. But a more subtle question is, yeah, but what if I come across a plant that is missing one of the three? Right? So what would you say? So it seems like you would say it's not kosher. But then even more so, what are you the tzatzifa for?
Right. But then it's probably...
And then even more so, what are you the tzatzifa case for? Just have the first... Just say it can't have these... It has to have these three things. And if it's missing one of the three... Right, okay. Okay, go on to the Gemara. So what does the Gemara say?
So HaTanya, we have a braisa saying, Doma l'maigo, kosher.
Okay, now I know this sounds so hyper, like, minutia, almost to the point of being annoying. But the Gemara says there's a difference, okay? No, some of that. Because the Gemara is saying there's a difference. There's two kinds of leaves, okay? There's
saw a leaf. And the scythe.
Right.
Sickle.
So there's a kind of leaf that looks like this, okay? And there's a kind of leaf that looks... No, that's bad. Like...
Irregular, kind of small.
No, that's bad also. Like...
Bravo, what happened to your artistic brilliance?
Wow.
Like that.
There we go.
Yeah, in other words, in my head it makes sense. There's bidirectional, like a saw. If you look at the blades of a saw, they're bidirectional, like a triangle. Whereas a scythe, it's unidirectional. Because with a scythe or a sickle, you cut one way. When you ever go harvesting, so you cut like this. Single edge versus double edge.
Okay? Lateral versus right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sure, right, there you go. Okay. So the Gemara says, but it turns out there is a species of, so there's a brisa that says that if it has a serrated edge, as long as it's a, single edge, right, it's fine, but double edge is a problem, right? So you see having a serrated edge is possible. Okay, sounds like a technical kasha. So the Gemara's answer is, Amar Baye.
Amar Baye, Kitanya Haki, when we learned this, Mitzopa Gila.
Oh, terrible answer, okay? So it turns out there's something called a Chilfa Gila. Now, a Chilfa Gila has, this is the hard part, okay? A Chilfa Gila has a red stem and river-shaped leaves, but it has a serrated edge. So think about the answer. The Gemara's question is, well, one second, you can't tell me serrated edge is a psul because we see an arava can have a serrated edge. So the answer is, this kind of arava can have a serrated edge, a Chilfa Gila, okay?
Well, no, it's a mono-serrated edge. It isn't a serrated edge at all.
I know, but it doesn't say it's a regular arava. It's a special kind of rabba, a chilfa gila. Okay, it's a...
Kosher?
And it's kosher.
Well, it's a special kind of an rabba, but it's still a normal kind of a rabba.
But special.
Right.
Well, how do we know it's special?
Because
it has a different name. All right, now, well, one second. Let's put on our taxonomy hats for a second, okay? There is some value to it. I'm not going to get into how naming works. But there is some value in the fact that when people see a certain species of A... Of certain species, they refer to it differently than with the other species. So for some reason, right, they called this type of rubber Chilfa Gila.
It's a cultural thing.
Well, he's sort of right. Because what does Chilfa mean in Aramaic? What's Chilfa referred to? What's Chilfa? Chilfa is an Arava. Chilfa is the Aramaic for Arava. So when they saw this kind of Arava, they called it an Arava Gila. Okay?
Look at that Aramaic Arava.
No, we did also. We have... We have Homo sapiens, right? But sapiens is the modifier of the Homo, right? But so Homo's a genus, right? Bai is a funny guy. He comes along and says, well, we know the Chilfagila, which is, now we have three kinds of plants here. We have the standard Arava, we have the Chilfagila, or I'll put it a different way. Standard Arava has A, B, and C. Chilfagila has A and B. Satsafa has X, Y, and Z. Okay? Does not have A, B, and C. Right? Okay, so the Gemara says, so, right, so look at what Abaye says. Amar Abaye. Oh, so good news. I can use a chilfagila. I can use this type of rava for my mitzvah. So the Gemara says, pshito. Well, of course you could. So what's the havmina? So the Gemara says, mo, the same. Listen to this.
Why is that obvious?
Because the Gemara just concluded and said, this is a rava. So Abaye says, good. It's an rava and I can use it. Right. But the Gemara says, you can use an rava that has A and B. So Abaye says, I can use an rava that has A and B. So he's repeating the obvious. It's like I just told you, Ariel, guess what? You can use that sitter on Shabbos. And then you write that and tell me, I can use a sitter on Shabbos. Well, we know that already. I just said you can use a sitter on Shabbos. So why is Abaye telling us I can use this Arava? So the answer is, because, Mo, the same, close enough. Levi. Anyone know what that means, Shane Levi? Okay, it's exactly what I just said. So you would think, yeah. You would think, since people refer to it not as a arava, but as a arava gila, so because of that, you would think, therefore, it's not a good arava. Now, think about what the Gemara just did here, and this is why the flow is so difficult. The Gemara just left the structural hiddur train. It just got off that train and said, yo, one second, why would you think it's a problem? Because people don't call it an arava. They call it an arava gila.
Why would you think it's a problem?
Whoa, calm down, calm down. I yelled also, okay? So when I was going through this, I said to my chavrusa, this is ridiculous. Like, who cares? Because how could the Gemara go from something that's so technical and in the structure to how people call it? Because you might have thought, since people call it this kind of a rava, it's pasul, kumash milan is still kasher. That's crazy. That's very problem. Who cares? By the way, how would you answer the question that's bothering you, okay? Like, why list it as ABC, and then Satsava's XYZ.
Okay,
and then come with this
Chilfagila. Not having one of those characteristics doesn't necessarily exclude it from you.
That's correct.
It's not giving a categorization. It's giving a heuristic defined correct.
Why? It does this here and not by?
Anything else, because nothing else has so many similar things that are possible.
Okay.
Can you explain that better? Right, so...
Remember, there's...
It has none of them.
Okay, good. I had a hypothesis in the beginning of this whole sugya, which I think is bearing out. That's what I like about doing these kind of gemaras. You have a hypothesis, and you see if it flows through. Remember I told you, what makes the arava so different than the other species? When it comes to hadas, right? What am I looking for in a hadas? When the gemara defines what the hadasim are, it's telling you it's this and nothing else, right? Because hadasim are not ubiquitous, right? When you come across a hadas, there's only one thing that's a hadas in the world. Only one esrog in the world. There's nothing else like it. Not by willows, okay, or aravos. Aravos are not like that. Aravos are ubiquitous, right? So the problem is like kind of what Yonatan's saying. The problem is that there's these, since it's a genus, it's a generic ubiquitous type of plant, right? So now what the Gemara has to tell you is, it's not telling you what it is, or rather what it's not. Or, to put it in more halakhic terms, right? At Tzatzifa, what's the difference between, let's say I come across a hadas and a rose, right? The rose is not a hadas. But the Tzatzifa is what?
Not
well, what's a tzatzifa?
Doesn't have any of the characteristics.
Nope, it's a willow with a psul. That's the point of the Gemara. Yes. It's a type of arava. In fact, I'll prove it to you.
It specifically refers to it as tzatzifa. I feel like it's trying to separate tzatzifa completely from arava.
No, right.
You, but, like, say for this, what
telling you, the reason why I'm going down this road is because of the naming issue. That's why. I'll show you why. Because if you go down your road, right, you're gonna run. The naming issue becomes very complex. And by the way, the Rambam goes down your road. The Rambam does not consider it tzatzifa type of rava, but other Rishonim do. They say it's a pusla rava. Now, to me, that's much easier, because if you're gonna tell me that tzatzifa really is an arava, right? It's just that it's pusla to use because it has these three things, right? Then I can understand the chilfagila issue. Why? Let's bear with me. Let's assume you say that the tzatzifa, it's a speed. It's in the genus of arava. It's just lacking three simanim.
It's lacking, right? Three simanim for the tzatzifa as well. It's lacking. Does it need to?
Right, but why is naming it the chilfagila or calling it the Jakubowitz willow? Why would you think that makes it pusle, and why therefore is it kasher? See, the way I'm learning can make that seem somewhat reasonable.
The tzatzifa also has a different name, right?
still in a realm, but it has a different name.
Right, but that also, it mean, but I think it means like hill willow or something like that.
Hill willow. Right. Yeah. So then, since the kind of the same.
Jakubowicz, Araba or whatever, Jakubowicz willow. But the adjective of Jakubowicz could be a modifier that results in the Araba no longer being a kosher Araba. So it's coming here to say that even though it has this additional modifier, let's say the acre of the most important part of the Araba was the fact that it was green, right? And let's say this Jakubowicz, you had the modifier.
Enough. Good. I think Dovi's saying, I could be wrong, because I'm not going to repeat you, though. I think what Dovi's saying is that, what do we know before we get to the Chilfa Gila, so to speak, conceptually? We know that there's a willow, and it has three simanim, and then there's this kind of willow, that it has these three simanim. If this willow has three simanim, it's kasher, it's called the Rava, and this kind of willow is called a Satsifa. Now you have this kind of willow, which is called a Jakubowicz willow. That's two ways you can look at it. You could say the Jakubowicz willow really is a qualitative thing, meaning it's not just the modifier makes it into something different. But then they would say, okay, right? So that's why people.
Why the name?
Oh no, that's the thing.
Well, that's because everyone might think that this is Arava, and there's nothing else because this thing is not called Arava.
Right, it's not.
There's still willows.
They're willows, but only this kind of willow is the kasher willow, and these kind of willows, because they have different names, right, are not kasher willows. Now, the difference between the Jakubowicz willow name and that Satsifa is simply that Jakubowicz willow, if I look at it as, once I put the modifier in, does that make it into a completely distinct type of thing? And I think people would think that way. They look at it and say, oh, I look at this thing and I see a Jakubowicz willow. That's not a willow. That's a different type of willow. Just like a Tzatzafa is a different kind of a rubber willow. So Kamash Milan, like what Dovi's saying, no. The Gilas is a modifier. Even though it's a genus, there's willows that can have modifiers, and then there's a Tzatzafa. A Tzatzafa is a different type of willow legamre.
So how do you answer Tosos' question? Why do we add all three?
Oh, so Tosos wanted to say, that's a good question. He wanted to say that...